Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
percent of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
Hey guys, welcome to this fun episode of TFL Talking Trucks.
Yeah.
And it's me and Andre today. And if you're not watching this at home, there's a picture of a certain truck about, what would you say, Andre, 4 feet in the air?
Okay, so the tires are 35 inches. So yeah. That's about, the tire is about 3 feet. And it appears that the truck is about 3 extra feet in the air.
Yeah, so who's driving that truck, Andre?
That's me.
That's you.
That's me.
And what is the truck?
It's the new 2025 Ram 1500 RHO.
Yep, and in this episode, we are going to be talking all RHO, maybe sneak into Warlock, and maybe even get to the Ram Heavy Duties.
And Rebels, too.
And Rebels.
Yeah.
Because tell me, you just went to Detroit to go drive the RHO, and kind of walk me through where you went and what you did.
So I think we need to look at the bigger picture as well, right? So if we step back, so the event just happened, right? But if we take a little bit wider look at Ram, they are recently, the third quarter was over, right? We saw financial results, and they lost market share, right?
Yeah, which is not a good thing.
So Ram is struggling as far as getting trucks out there, selling them. And that's why I think you're also seeing a lot of, you know, discounts, incentives, money on the hood on trucks. So Ram really needs to put, you know, one of the best feet forward. And what this event was about, that was in Auburn Hills, it was about their sport trucks. They call them sport trucks, but I call them off-road trucks.
Yeah, yeah. And really what we want to get to in this podcast, the question we're asking ourselves specifically about the RHO is it a detuned TRX? In other words, you know, kind of a TRX that's cheaper and less capable, or is it something, you know, that is more of a Raptor competitor, that's more lustworthy. And so hopefully by the end of this podcast, you guys will have a greater sense for what the new RHO is. So I think before we even get to what you did this weekend, let's kind of talk about Ram's history. Because when the first TRX came out, it was, you know, an answer to the Raptor.
Yeah.
And it was quite the answer to the Raptor because the Raptor, you know, was
a V6 at that point. Yeah.
And then Ram, out of the box, takes their Hellcat, slams it into their 1500 truck, gives it, you know, much better suspension, wider body, all the things that made the Raptor so great, but upped the Raptor by how many horsepower? Like almost 300 horsepower, right? It was 702 horsepower.
Yeah, and the
out
Raptor,
of the box, supercharged.
And the Raptor was 450, so basically what, 252 horsepower more than the comparable F-150 Raptor. And we liked it so much, you went out on the day before New Year's and you actually purchased one.
Yeah, and drove it back. And I got to tell you, Andre, out of all the trucks we've owned, and we've owned over the years a lot of trucks now, especially high-performance trucks, and I'm talking about the Hummer EV, I'm talking about the Raptor R, I'm talking about the Silverado ZR2. It's probably one of my favorite trucks. It's the one that was the hardest to sell because it had this crazy cool combination of ultimate off-road capability with this beautiful supercharger wine, an incredible Hemi exhaust note, and just, you know, just a truck that was about as broad-shouldered and as, oh God, you know, the Hellcat of trucks. How else could I, would I put it?
Yeah, and it had a very unique character, like you're saying, right? Even the new Raptor R, which we also owned, has a slightly different character,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in the review, I characterized it as a difference between a sledgehammer and a scalpel. And at the end of the day, I
kind of... Or maybe a saber or something.
I kind of like my trucks to be sledgehammers. Not that there's anything wrong with scalpels, but this thing was just a blunt instrument that put a huge smile on your face. And I think everybody was super bummed when Ram announced, Stellantis announced, the end of the Hellcat.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Yeah, and basically, you may still see like the final editions, right? The Ram TRX final edition, 2024 models.
Yeah, they're cheap, aren't they?
No. All of them are like over 100K.
Yeah, they're like 120K.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the list price is like 119. And I don't know, I mean, I think you can maybe find some deals on them now, but they're
I'm not sure about that.
I don't
know. I think the deal on ones that are still out there brand new for sale is that you can actually buy them at MSRP. I think that's the legacy that those trucks have held, is that they are so popular and so like lust-worthy because they're so much fun.
Yeah, I was actually talking. I was recently at Granger Motors in Iowa. They're a Ram dealership as well. Mm-hmm. And Zach over there was telling me that, you know, they had like three TRXs on the lot. And I was like, are they still, you know, jumping off the lot? And he's like, well, when they raised the price for those final editions, they're kind of hanging around longer. So I think Ram really found the limit of pricing. Really in the bad way.
And then exceeded it.
And now, you know, I think a lot of those TRXs are still sitting on lots.
Yeah, I think the limit on that was 100,000. It's kind of similar for the Jeep 392, right? Mm-hmm. Those are also over 100,000. And especially in Tuscadero, which is kind of this funky pink color. I'm seeing, when I was looking for Jeeps, our Jeep, I saw a lot of those sitting on the lots. Yeah, I think that they pushed the envelope too far, too high for too long, and now you've got these trucks sitting. But never mind that. The question we're trying to get to, Andre, is the RHO a worthy successor? Now, does Ram consider it a successor to the TRX?
Well, no, technically no. The answer is no from the Ram perspective, because even before Tim Kuniskis, you know, the CEO, he now left. But before he left, he said the TRX name is on the shelf. We're not throwing away the TRX name. The RHO is kind of the next step in their progression, but stay tuned. He said, stay tuned. And he was, I took that to mean that the TRX is still coming, right? The next TRX is still coming. But now Tim is not there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that statement, you know, holds water still or not. And so, but what we do have, the RHO looks like a TRX. I mean, it's wide
body. Especially 3 feet in the air.
It's wide body truck. It's got those, you know, same tires, very similar wheels. It's got the same proportions. I know they changed the grille and the headlamps a little bit, but it still has that TRX look. So people might confuse it for a TRX when they look at it.
But there is one big difference, right? And that is instead of a supercharged V8 Hemi, it's got a straight six turbocharged Hurricane.
Yes, it's a 3 liter. Yes. Yeah. And it's a high output engine. So now Ram has, by the way, no more V8s. So if you buy a Ram 1500 of any trim, you know, Tradesman, Work Truck, anything, Bighorn, Laramie, Longhorn, Limited, they are all now turbocharged, basically the same straight six engine, except they have two versions of it, standard and then the high output one.
And I take it the RHO has the high output.
Yeah, it has to. And it does.
How many horsepower?
540 horsepower. So if you look at the F-150 Raptor V6, that's 90 horsepower more.
Yeah.
So on paper, you'll be like, yeah, I mean, why not? You know, do a high output engine in the RHO.
So maybe this kind of, in the scheme of fun off-road trucks, maybe it kind of lives above the Rebel, but below the TRX. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would say right now, completely. Because even on paper, right, we're talking about specs here. And I mean, like you said, there's three huge ingredients of a super truck, right? Of course, suspension, the way it looks, are two. And then the third one is power.
So, right? So power. Looks-wise, you know, big haunches, Coke bottle shape, very similar to the TRX. How about suspension? What's the suspension on it?
It's basically the same. So to an untrained eye, it still has Bilstein Black Hockey 2s.
Active or not?
Active shocks.
Okay.
They're still active. But if you dig a little deeper, you will learn that the truck now weighs less, right? Because the big V8 and big supercharger are gone. And now this straight six is in with two turbos. And that engine weighs less, which means the truck weighs less. And also that means the weight is slightly different balance, right? It doesn't have quite as much weight on the nose.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a great thing, especially when you are in the air.
Yeah.
The shocks have been retuned.
Doesn't long dart. It doesn't go boom.
Yeah, that's, you don't want that.
You remember when like the Raptor came out? People were jumping it, and they figured out that because of all that weight in the nose, it would just lawn dart into the earth, and then there are all these YouTube videos of the thing splitting in half. Some pretty popular YouTubers
jumped. Airbags blowing, right?
Everything. Same thing with the TRX, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far it sounds like that's a good thing.
Yeah, so they retuned it a little bit because of the different weight of the truck.
Even though, by my calculations, you're down 152 horsepower from the TRX.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You are down.
So hopefully you are also down in terms of MSRP. Do we know pricing on the RHO? Have they announced it?
Exactly. We do.
Okay. Tell me.
And it's very attractive, okay, right? So the base RHO, including destination charges, is $71,990.
But there's a but. There's always a but.
Well, at least right now there are no national incentives. But a lot of commenters out there, you guys were telling us and me that some dealers are already doing discounts.
Wait. Right? No, I think the but is that they're not selling the base.
That's true too.
I didn't think it was possible to get a base truck, at least initially.
At least with our dealer, we called Granger Motors once again.
Yeah.
We said, what if we ordered an RHO right now? And they said, this was what, 2 weeks ago maybe?
Yeah.
They said, only ones you can order are the ones with the additional $10,000 package.
Ooh.
Which makes it $82,000.
Dude, hold on. What? I went and paid for our TRX. And this is a long time ago, okay?
You're talking about 2021.
Yeah, a long time ago. Maybe it was even less than that. It was 2020.
It was 2020, December 31st.
Going into 2021, yeah. And I paid less than $82,000.
No, you paid $77,000.
$77,000. For the base truck.
And that wasn't quite base, remember? Because we needed a towing package.
Yeah, we had like a TR1, right?
We did a towing package. We didn't even have keyless entry on our TRX.
Yeah.
So we didn't get a fully loaded one, but we got just one step above base for $77,000.
That's a hard pill for me and TFL, and I think a lot of people to swallow, and that is, and I know, let me preface this. I get it. Inflation, COVID, world has turned it upside down and then right side up again, you know, supply chain issues. Back then it was FCA, now it's Stellantis. There's a lot that has changed, but still, psychologically, it's hard to pay more for less because it is less.
Less power.
Yeah, less power, in a lot of ways, less truck.
And so, but the reason why I said pretty good value, right? If you look at the $71,990, basically $72,000 starting price for the RHO, if you look at the starting price for the F-150 Raptor V6 right now, That's at about 78,000 or 79.
But you can get that one.
You could get that one.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the current supply chain and is for Raptors. And yeah. if there's, I'm guessing that they're probably still selling over sticker because Ford has done the Ferrari move where they probably just build one less than demand. You know what I mean? You very rarely see Raptors sitting on the dealer lots.
You rarely do. And if you see one, it's already being bought by somebody.
Yeah.
Right? It's already leaving.
Yeah. The only one that's actually harder to find is, of course, the Ranger Raptor, which is now, I think,
even, which is still kind of above sticker at a lot of places too.
Yeah, because you can't order. I think you got to order.
Well,
next
they stopped the 2024 orders, right?
Yep.
And 2025 orders haven't quite appeared yet. But yeah.
All right. What else you got on your notes there?
So it's got a unique exhaust system, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the big shtick, right? Because when the second generation Raptor went, you know, the first gen was V8. We owned one. The second generation F-150 Raptor was V6, and when that change happened, a lot of people complained about the exhaust sound, right?
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
...88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
So I know Ram knows this, and I know Ram.
Well, you know, I remember you going on the Raptor launch and coming back and, or maybe we were there together now. It all blends into one for me. But remember they were talking about how they had crossed the pipes so that the Raptor had a more, for lack of a better word, you know.
Throatier.
Yeah. Louder.
Well, later on they also did the loop-de-loop, right? On the Raptor F-150 V6, they wanted equal length dual exhaust system.
No, I think this is a point where we do have to kind of disclose something. So full disclosure, guys, there is an embargo on driving impressions.
Yes.
And the manufacturer considers engine note driving impressions. So as much
as... Well, if we say how it sounds, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that would be...
That's an impression.
Yeah, so we can't talk about that. We can tell you everything else about it, but we can't talk about how it drives or how it sounds. When does that embargo lift, by the way?
Just in a couple of days.
Okay.
So if you're
stay tuned.
Listening to this episode and you're on the edge of your seat and you want to know real world performance numbers or real world driving impressions or real world sound impressions of this truck, just wait a couple more days. But I can say
alltfl.com.
Alltfl.com. But I can say, Roman, that they have a special exhaust system on the RHO. It does have a cross pipe and it has a valve. Valves.
Okay. So when you say valves, you mean like butterfly valves in the exhaust,
inside the exhaust
that open
or close.
To close to give you a more throaty or louder.
So they are working on that. So Ram is working on this. So if they succeeded or not, let's just wait a couple more days or maybe a month or so until we actually get it here to Colorado and actually do some testing.
All right. Tell me more about the dampers and the shocks. How much travel do they have?
Yeah. So they kept that alone, which is great, because a truck like this, like we said, you know, the recipe for a super truck is suspension is one key ingredient. And so the front still has 13 inches of travel. The rear has 14 inches of travel. This is very similar to what it was before. And then, of course, here's the good news, Roman. Mm. Payload and towing improved on the RHO over the TRX. And partially, this is due to the truck's weight, right? The truck's weight improved a little bit. So now the maximum payload on the RHO is 1,520 pounds, so just over 1,500 pounds, which is also what the F-150 Raptor basically has.
I wonder how that happened, Andre.
Huh. Uh-huh.
What a coincidence.
Coinkydink.
Yeah, what a coincidence, yeah. And you think towing, they benchmark each other? Nah.
Of course.
I mean,
so in order to get to Auburn Hills from the airport in Detroit, you have to, well, you don't have to, but we did drive through Dearborn. So that's how, you know, that's how close all these manufacturers are. You know, they're just about 20 minutes away from each other as far as their headquarters are concerned, or maybe half an hour away. And then towing improved to 8510, so 8,510 pounds, which is a little bit more than the base Raptor. So, you know, they're taking care of those numbers.
So I have a question about something you said, which is a little worrying. You said that dealers are – I think our friend Tim is getting one, right?
Yeah.
And I think – I was listening to Tim. Hi, Tim. His podcast, and he said he got a substantial discount on his. I don't want to misquote him, so I'm not going to say the number. But it was in the thousands.
But Tim ordered his truck like months ago.
Which makes me curious as to why they're giving discounts on brand new trucks, because when the TRX came out, same thing with the Raptor, you would not get a discount.
You'd be charged more.
Or you'd be charged more, and you'd be lucky to not have to wait in line a couple of years to get one. So that's a little head-scratcher, Andre. We said, like, is this a detuned TRX or is it something else? And in other words, is it a worse version of the TRX, right? That people think to themselves, you know, this is like something that they used to create a truck that already existed, and what they did was they put an engine that we already had. The Hurricane came out, if I remember right, in the Grand Wagoneer, right? That was the first application of it.
Yeah, and they had in the high output version of it as well.
And so we stuck it in this truck and then created kind of this like detuned version of an RHO. And that to me is the negative side, and it feels like that's what's happening, especially if people are already discounting the things and they're not even out.
Exactly.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
And they're shipping right now. So
maybe I'm reading too much into it.
The best information we have is that RHO trucks are shipping. They're built in Michigan. So there's a lot of confusion usually about where trucks are built.
Yeah.
All of the Ram heavy-duty trucks are built in Mexico. And then the light-duty trucks, including the RHO and Ram 1500s, they're built in Sterling Heights. So that's they're built in Michigan. And there's also a plant in Warren. So they're not far away. So if you live in Michigan or if you live in a neighboring state, they're being shipped right now. But that's kind of worrisome. If people are saying that discounts are available now, I agree with you, Roman. It's a little bit worrisome for the truck.
Yeah, the other thing that I'm kind of scratching my head about is I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. And I understand that Tim Kuniska says that there might be a TRX coming.
Yeah.
But what's happening with a lot of, let's call it premium car companies, and we also do sports cars, we also do SUVs, and I was lucky enough recently to go and drive the new Urus, which is a Lamborghini, of course. And what Lamborghini has done is, you know, Lamborghini forever has 12-cylinder engines, right? That's what they were known for. If you got a Lamborghini, it was a 12-cylinder. But they, because of European emission rules, they also had a downsize. But what they did was they did this kind of like switcheroo, which I think kind of works. So in the Urus, they electrified it. And so while they downsized the engine, they upsized the electric motors. And so at the end of the day, you get more power, even though you have a smaller engine. So in other words, the new Urus puts out 789 horsepower, which is substantially more than the old one. And I'm thinking to myself, couldn't Ram do the same thing? Couldn't they kind of do kind of that switcheroo? Well, you know, hey, guys, we understand you love the Hemi, But the new RHO, or whatever is coming,
has 800 horsepower.
And the way we did it is, you know, we added 400 horsepower, 300 horsepower of electric drive, which also does a lot of other things, right? So it smooths out the shift points. Like with a lot of the plug-in hybrids, which is what the Urus is, you can now get whatever 20 miles of pure electric. And there is a downside to that with a truck, and that is because of a battery, you lose a lot of payload, and trucks are about payload. But still, I think that would create more excitement than going down in horsepower and going, I'm going to say so, going down in price, but once again, at 80, how much did you say the first ones are?
Well, 82.
82.
Because you have to buy this $10,000 package.
What does that get you? What does the 10K get you?
So 10K, they're calling it level one. Mm-hmm. So RHO level one. And it gets you a slightly bigger infotainment screen, about 14.5 inches, which looks impressive. RAM also maintained the same buttons. So there's actual knob for volume and tuning. And there's hard button controls for climate control system. So you're getting a bigger screen. You, of course, get trailer wiring is included. Brake controller is included. Trailer backup assist system is included. But the big one that's included is hands-free driving. I know a lot of people are on the fence. You know, a lot of people have opinions about hands-free driving, but
can I wager here?
Yeah,
I would wager that most truck guys and truck gals don't give a hoot about hands-free driving.
Well, I want to hear about more. I know you would rather drive or not drive.
Yeah, I'm at right? So my perspective at this point is, you know, so until you get to level whatever 5 autonomy, where you can just get in the vehicle, type in an address, and then just go to sleep, right? You don't have to be there, like,
monitoring it. Yeah.
Then I'm good with that. But until you get to that point, I find it much more stressful and much more irritating because it becomes a nanny thing, right, where the truck is driving itself, and we have full self-driving on our Tesla. You just did a video where we actually did it off-road. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Ford's Blue Cruise. Same thing with Chevy's Super Cruise. You're just sitting there like a train conductor, but you're still on alert. You're still kind of watching.
And there could be weird moments, right?
And then
weird moments in there.
And then if you take your, let's say if you take your eyes off the, because there, you know, there's cameras monitoring your eyes, and you take your eyes off for too long to like change the radio
station. It will yell at you.
It will yell at you, yeah. Like, yeah. It'll get hands back on the wheel, either by bright lights or dongs or dings. I just find that stupid. I'm like, I'll just drive it myself, right? Let me be the driver because I like driving, or let me be the passenger, but don't let me be the conductor who's monitoring these systems. And so, to me, I get that that's where the industry's at, and they're all like racing to be the first to have full self-driving for real, not for Tesla. But I'm a driver, Andre. And then especially with trucks, like, would you trust this towing? I think Super Cruise does it towing.
Super Cruise is currently the only system that tows
hands-free. Yeah, and that would
Ford
that would
do it.
That would be not just annoying; that'd be scary.
I've done that, so I've been in a Chevy and GMC vehicles towing with hands-free, and actually their system is pretty confident, inspiring. Would I do it always? Probably not.
Would you do it? How about with a heavy load? Let's say you're not just towing like, you know, 5,000 pound trailer.
I've towed, so usually when GM tested, they have big box trailers,
yeah,
which are kind of the worst because the wind hits it, right?
Sure.
And
big sails in the wind.
Big sails in the wind. So, and I haven't experienced a huge gust of wind, hands-free driving in the GM. But other than that, they're pretty good. I really love GM system. I think they're still the best as far as their hands-free driving systems. But you know what it points to? Because, for example, F-150 Raptor doesn't have Blue Cruise. ZR2 trucks in the GM world don't have Super Cruise. But
Cybertruck has it.
Yes, Cybertruck has it. But what I like about Ram is they're kind of pushing the envelope, and they added it to their RHO truck as well. So
can you get it in a non-RHO as well? Like,
yes. A limited, any number of those.
Limited
horn horns.
Yeah.
I don't know about Bighorn because that's kind of a goes down the trim level.
Yeah, it doesn't go down to Bighorn, yeah.
So I like that at least Ram is trying to push that envelope because that's what I've seen from them before. You know, when they redesigned the truck in 2018, when the new Ram 1500 came out, they had the best interiors, right? And they still almost do, right? Redesign the interiors. They still offer great suspension systems.
You know what happened to me on the way to the airport the other day?
What?
I was trying to use the Tesla full self-driving, right? And so I set a speed, and it kind of went and did its own thing. And over 3 or 4 miles, it kept dropping the speed that I had set it at. So it went down from like the speed limit on the highway 75. So I always set it like 79, right? A little quicker because that's where the flow of traffic is. You don't want to be like blocking traffic. I'm not trying to break the law. I'm just being, honest because it's a pretty empty road. It's a toll road. And then over time, like not a lot of time, it would go 79, 78, 77. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me. And I couldn't, in the past with autopilot, would control the speed with the little rotary dials, mm-hmm. wouldn't control the speed. And I could not get it to stay at the speed limit that I had set it at. And it was so frustrating that after like the second time I reset it, I just gave up and I said, you know what? This is not worth the aggravation. I'm just going to drive the darn thing myself.
Okay.
And this is how I feel about full self-driving.
Yeah.
And I know you say that, let's talk about the Hummer EV, right? That was GM Super Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps getting better and better. But I remember I had that out and I was driving back from Moab on I-70. And there is like from Moab to Colorado to Grand Junction, there is no traffic, right? It's 80.
It's in the desert kind of.
Yeah, 80 miles an hour. You may pass a few cars, but for that like maybe hour and a half stretch, from that like Cisco exit to the Colorado border at 80 miles an hour. So I set the same thing, set it for like 85 or 84, a couple miles over. And for no reason, it would just turn off. I'd be like driving and it would just disengage. Mm. And there was no traffic, there were no turns, dead straight, and it would just disengage. And so I think what happens is you have a couple experiences like that and it's kind of like where we used to go to Snarf's and we would ask the system to find
the navigation system,
and after like enough failures, you're just
numb to it.
You're basically. Just like, hey, just kind of give up on the thing, and you're like, you know what, guys, get back to me in 10 years when you've actually got this figured out. And the worst thing is, it's a classic example of the overpromise and underperform. Right? They're always like the companies are like, oh, it does all this, and then you go and try it, and the system doesn't do that, especially with like. Understanding accents or understanding natural language, we very rarely ever had the car on the first attempt be able to find Snarfs.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Maybe you've been thinking about therapy. You realize a therapist could help you work things out, but
I can't afford it. Therapy is expensive.
Talkspace is different. Talkspace is one of only a few online mental health providers that takes insurance. Average copays are only $15.
I can afford $15.
And most insured members pay nothing.
Nothing? No copays at all? With insurance, I could see a therapist and I might not have to pay anything out of pocket?
That's right. Nothing should stand in your way of getting support from a caring, licensed therapist. And if you don't have insurance, no problem. You can pay out of pocket for a lower cost than in-person therapy. And because you meet your therapist online, you can schedule appointments for whenever and wherever it's most comfortable for you.
Wow, I'm feeling better already.
You can pay for Talkspace with insurance or get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And it was either me or you or Nathan. We weren't like, right? We were like,
we're speaking normally.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Navigate the Snarfs. How else would you say it? And the system would be like,
which city are you from?
Yeah.
Wait, what? What do you mean, which city?
Yeah. And I just had the same thing happen. This was like a month and a half ago. I was using a Super Cruise on Buick's new Enclave. And now they've actually gotten off highways and they're actually on side roads. So we were driving from Portland basically over to the ocean across the mountains. And there are some twisty roads. And, you know, turned it on and, you know, speed limit around the curves was like 55 or something. And that vehicle was doing 45. It was like driving with a learner, right? Somebody who's just like very tentative and like very scared. Mm-hmm. And I just don't, I'm like, hey, if you're going to roll this out, like actually roll it out so that the second you turn it on, it works.
You have to have confidence.
Yeah, it works, and it, you know, and I think Tesla pioneered this, and I feel like that's one of the bad things Tesla pioneered, and that is making us the beta testers, right? like they couldn't like do it themselves, so they roll it out, and then every version supposedly gets better and better, and every, you know, we just got another update on the Cybertruck, and now it does, you know, more stuff, which is great, but you know, didn't we? Pay, I mean, full self-driving, didn't we pay for that?
We paid for it months ago in April of 2024, but Tesla is kind of unique here. Tesla seems to be on the bleeding edge, like really, really out there just of technology, because they're letting their owners of their vehicles test their software for them. That's something that's not, I don't know of any other manufacturer that does this.
Well, they're all doing it now. I mean, Volvo recently did the same thing with their EX90, yeah, uh-huh. The EV, where, you know, they were like, when we were driving it, they were like, you know, this is the beta version. Yeah, uh-huh. Version, and better version's coming. So stay
tuned.
Go
ahead, test it. And
yeah, I'm like, I don't want to test it if it's not ready.
No,
It'd be like, you know, with Thanksgiving, your lovely wife or your mom pulls out the turkey, and she's like, hey, it's half-baked, but give it a try.
Yeah, give it a try. It's bleeding a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, in a couple hours, it'll be done.
So the RHO, well, in a little while, we'll also touch on some other trucks in their lineup because I like Ram. They have a full portfolio of trucks. But just to wrap up on the RHO, so it's on sale now. You have some accessories. You can already add to it. You have kind of like running boards, or you can have rock sliders. You can have different wheel options. The image you see here, if you're watching us, is a beadlock-capable wheel, which I love, by the way, Roman. I think it just sets the truck off.
What are the tires? Did you look at the tires?
These are the territories. So the tires, well, the same tire we used to have on the TRX, basically. Hmm. So it's a Goodyear Wrangler territory. This is an AT. There's also an MT tire and some others. But this is, I think, a good all-around tire. I mean, it's maybe not excellent in the snow, but it does everything quite well, including drag racing.
Did you go drag racing?
No. Oh. But we drag raced our TRX.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a lot. And yeah. this tire, and when you make truck a little bit lighter, everything improves, right? You should, you know, should have better turning, better braking, better acceleration, better, a lot of things should improve. And like we said, in a couple days, we'll show you our first drive video.
So is there a video of you actually jumping the thing? Was a camera on you when you jumped it?
Yes.
So we see your expression?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't know what that expression was. I think it was probably fear, partially.
Not quite confidence, Andre?
Well, it's not natural. I don't know. I mean, I don't race trucks for a living.
All right.
But it doesn't feel quite natural when you are actually free-falling in a vehicle. It feels unique.
You're close to driving impressions. Be careful.
I was talking about being in the air.
Okay. All right. Yes. All right. So you're saying you would make a bad astronaut?
Probably.
Yeah. Me too. I think you're right.
You know that plane, the Vomit Comet? Yeah. I'd probably be vomiting on the Vomit Comet.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the picture of the truck. And the other thing I got to say is, like, they didn't move the needle in terms of styling either.
It looks like a TRX.
Usually, you know, it's evolutionary. Does it have a functional hood scoop? Is that
thing
real?
Yeah, it still does.
Okay.
It still does, yeah. Like the TRX. And, of course, they're very proud of it because it's a way to get a little bit more cold air into the engine, improving how the engine behaves.
So let's talk about something we haven't talked about, all the off-road goodies. So rear locker?
Rear locker.
Front locker.
No front locker. Mm. So the TRX...
never had a front locker.
Never had a front locker. Right. And I asked, actually, about this. I was with the engineering team at Ram. And it's basically, you know, they kind of had to work with kind of the chassis they have. And they're using brake distribution. Brake distribution is basically where using brakes to kind of lock the wheel that's spinning in the front.
Yep.
Kind of transferring the power.
So no torsion. front diff?
No. And actually, Raptor R went away.
They went away from that as well. Yeah,
I think when you're putting that much power, at least in the Raptor R, through the front locking differential, the differential may just be the weak spot.
Yeah.
Probably the weak point.
Yeah, so if you want a front locker, you got to go with like the Ranger Raptor or the...
Chevy Colorado Bison.
Bison. But those are mid-sized trucks.
Or like a Jeep Gladiator has a front locker. But that's a solid front axle, right? Yeah. It's a whole different animal.
And then what else is it going to ask you? How about different off-road modes? Does it have different off-road modes?
Yeah, a ton of them.
So like Baja and rock climbing and
snow, mud. Snow and mud and custom and tow modes. And so it has a variety of modes. It still has the heads-up display. Right, so especially when you pay $82,000, so we talked about the first RHOs being, you know, with that additional package, level one package, when you're paying at least $82,000, maybe you're getting a deal on it, you feel like it's a comfortable interior, right? The interior looks nice.
Does it have special RHO seats like the TRX?
That's good. Just little stitching
and
on
that. By the way, guys, I'm drinking iced tea here, and I know it looks like it's... gin, but I had COVID about 2 weeks ago, and I seem to have developed the COVID cough now. So
it's still with you.
Yeah, I'm working very hard not to cough.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, sure. No. I mean, I'm feeling good. I just this damn cough that now won't go away. Thank you, COVID. Much appreciated.
Yeah, still here.
Huh? Yeah. All right, and then interior wise, nice, because Ram has really kind of upped the level of interiors.
They're still one of the in my mind number one. As far as comfort, ergonomics, just the way it looks, they're still number one.
Anything special in the bed?
No,
normal bed.
And actually, Ram is behind on this. You know how Ford introduced, you know, really power on board to their trucks. Mm. So the F-150 Hybrid had 7.2 kilowatts. The new Lightning has, you know, 7.2.
The Cybertruck has it.
The Chevy Silverado EV has it.
Yeah.
GMC Sierra EV has it. Well, the Ram trucks have an optional 2-kilowatt system, but they're behind. A lot of the trucks I saw didn't have that option included on those trucks. So that's disappointing because your truck is your tool, right?
How about the tailgate? Can you get like that barn door or the 40-60 split?
Not on the RHO.
Just a traditional tailgate. Yeah. Okay.
But that's a good segue because they also had at this event all the other sport trucks. I call them off-road trucks in their lineup. And they also had a Rebel X.
Okay, let's talk about the Rebel. So what's new on the Rebel?
So actually, we've tested the Rebel, not the X, but the regular 2025 1500 Rebel. And Rebel X is they're celebrating 10 years. So X is a Roman numeral for 10. And I remember fondly, 10 years ago, Nathan and I went out to Flagstaff, Arizona, in the Cinders. You've been there.
I remember,
with
the
Ram.
Yeah.
A different event.
Yeah. That's a cool place. You're basically a volcano.
It's basically an old volcano.
Yeah, you're driving up and down this like black volcanic sand, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it's really, really difficult because you, I think, went into this crater thing.
It's hard to get out.
And then you have to get out of the crater, which is really hard. Well, Nathan and I drove the original Rebel.
Yep.
Previous generation 1500 Rebel there. It came out 10 years ago. We had a lot of fun on that event. And so it was really kind of special personally for me to see them celebrate that. It's an additional package. So the Rebel X costs $3,495 over the standard Rebel.
Which is how much? So what are we looking at?
Well, dude, we're approaching $80,000 already now. Because here's the thing. When you buy a base Rebel, it comes as a crew cab, 4x4, short bed only. The short bed is 5'7". That starts at $66,000 already, Roman. There are the incentives, national discounts and incentives, and maybe even deals at dealers. So it starts at $66,000. Then you add like a level 2 package, which adds several thousand dollars. Then you add Rebel X package, which adds another $3,500. And now you're pushing close to $80,000.
So you're at the price of an RHO.
Yes. But
you don't get the suspension.
You don't get the fancy suspension. You don't get big tires. You don't get extra width.
You get the high output.
No, you don't. Mm. So
that's weird pricing.
Why?
Why?
You would think, why? Why would you step on each other?
Yeah. Why would you not price that below the RHO?
Yeah, that's a great
question. That's confusing, Andre.
That's a great question.
I'm confused.
But the Rebel X has some nice touches. Console shifter, so no knob. So like, the RHO has a console shifter, has unique badging, stitching, special stereo system. On the back of the seats in the front, there's that MOLLE panel, you know, that looks very military, very purposeful. So they have special touches on their Rebel X that was also, and it has the barn door.
Okay, so you get the barn door. So you get the, I think it's a 60-40 split, right? They do it. They don't do it.
Yeah, it's not a 50-50 for sure. And so, yeah, all those options, of course, add up. But what if you wanted something more affordable?
Like the Warlock.
Yes.
So the Warlock used to be the last generation, the previous generation.
The classic.
Yeah, right? So it was a classic that they did as an off-roader, and it was more affordable. Having said that, we've gone down this road before. And I found when I was looking for our Jeep Ram, right? Remember when we bought Stubby? Yep. Warlocks weren't that especially affordable.
No, they were like in the 40s. The classic, right?
The
classic
ones. Like used, they were in the 40s. New, they were actually pretty expensive.
And they had V8s, right? They had the Hemis.
They had the Hemi, yeah.
But now they don't have a Hemi.
Now they have a Hurricane.
They have a Hurricane standard, but that's 420 horsepower. And 469 pound-feet of torque.
But is it now the previous gen or is it the same gen?
It's the same gen.
Okay, so it's no longer one gen old.
No.
That's
good. And actually, at the end of this year, the Classic is no more.
Okay.
So really, you know, they're transitioning all the way to this new generation, the DT generation of the truck. And here, I just wanted to show you, Roman, really quick on the screen while we're talking. Here's just one example of what a Warlock currently looks like. So it's kind of like a baby TRX, but it's got a blacked out nose, blacked out bumpers. But look at the tires. It has Duratrax, which is a pretty beefy tire, 33 inches of tire.
You know, my early take on that is it looks like an RHO without the cladding, basically, right? And the bigger wheels and tire package. But in terms of like being distinguished in its fascia, front fascia.
It's not really distinguished.
It looks the same, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I were an RHO buyer, if I'd want something that you know, screams RHO, or if I were a Warlock buyer, I'd want something that looks like an RHO. I'm not sure, but it all looks very tame, you know? It just looks very, very kind of...
You know what it looks like? It looks aerodynamic.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
You know, and sometimes aerodynamics, of course, play into it. You know, you want efficiencies. But in the truck, we talked about, you know, fist into the wind, right? It really, for a pickup truck at least, it really needs to be upright and kind of bold. And I think they're almost smoothing out this truck too much.
Well, you know, I'm the one who says I hate chrome. And the good thing is there's no chrome on there.
No chrome.
But it just, maybe it's me because maybe, you know, be careful what you ask for, because now the front looks just like a big black hole, right? At least in this picture, right? There's just no definition. It's like you see the red, but you don't see anything, specifically the Ram. Maybe they need to pop the Ram somehow.
Oh, like the outline? Maybe,
yeah, make it red, right? But right now the front end, the grill looks, for all of you listening to this, it's hard to explain, but I'll try. It just looks like there's, you know...
The whole blick, the grill is black.
Yeah, it's just like a big empty void in the front that somehow doesn't add to the lines of the truck whatsoever. But it could be the picture. Try it in a different color.
So here's my thing. In a different color.
Try it in black. It could be quadruple black, Andre.
I'm picking blue. Okay. Hydra blue.
I like hydra blue. That's
better. That's a good color.
It pops the nose a little bit, but do it in black. I'm curious to see what it'll look
actually,
like.
Actually, the truck I saw at the event was in black. And, that's not quite black. That's like gray. Hold on a second. Here it is. Here's a black one. It's pretty sinister.
Quadruple
pretty
black,
cool,
yeah.
Pretty cool looking.
The only thing that pops are the headlights.
Pretty cool looking, all in black, with black wheels as well. Here's my thing. Dude, there was one at the event. It had six seats.
Oh, cool.
Bench in the front, bench in the back. And it was kind of traditional cloth seats. It was, you know, lots of power.
And when you load it up, it's 80,000.
No.
No?
It starts at 56, though.
All right.
I mean, it does start quite high, but I noticed national incentives of $5,500. So in some places, you could get this. It's always four-wheel drive. It has Bilstein shocks. The Warlock, I think, is the place where I want to go.
You know, God, this is just my opinion, so don't take this as gospel. But my sense with Stellantis and Carlos, who has now announced that he's going to step down at the end of his contract.
Which is still in, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, yeah.
Or more?
Yeah, but my sense is that he came in and did a lot of cost-cutting. And so a lot of people left the company.
Also delayed development, right?
Yeah.
Because we're not seeing big leaps.
A lot of people either took early retirement or retired or maybe, you know, got pushed. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. But a lot of people were poached by companies like Rivian or like the new Scout. Mm-hmm. And I think that over the long run has hurt Ram. The other part of this kind of, in my opinion, thing that happened was that he kind of tried to institute this model where we'll push the pricing because the trucks are special, so we want people to know that the trucks are special. And how do you know that they're special unless you make them expensive? Except the problem is that the truck market in America is so competitive, that you can't do that because Ford and Chevy – GM
are picking up the slack now.
We'll undercut you.
And they're getting money.
And so I think it was, on his part, a misunderstanding of the North American market, because out of all the segments, the truck market has always been the most competitive. There's always been money on the hood. People have always been used to going to the dealership and seeing 15,000 white, whatever it is, Rams, F-150s, Silverados, and then being able to kind of wheel and deal and seeing what incentives there are. And Ford and GM did, after COVID, go back to that business model. But Stellantis kind of said, oh, no, you know. And it's not just the trucks. It's also Jeeps and, you know, the other brands.
And Chrysler, Dodge.
Oh, you know, this is an expensive truck, so we're going to charge you for it. And then Ford said, that's fine. We're going to cut the prices on the F-150. And Chevy said, well, we're going to match it. And then the outcome of that was that Ram lost, like, almost 2% market share, which is enormous. I mean, you know how long and hard they fought to get that. And now new product is the lifeblood of any truck company, and they're struggling with, you know, new product because I think that at the same time they cost – because let's face it, Ram was always the golden goose of FCA and Stellantis, right? That's where the money was because trucks aren't expensive to build for the most part compared to
– cars or something.
Cars, yeah. And they kind of sucked the money out of the company but didn't put enough money into either, you know, people or – product
or development
or both, and now we're kind of seeing these, you know,
the fruits of that,
which is, you know, a truck, be it the Warlock or be it the Rebel or be it the RHO, that is no longer class leading in terms of what it's offering, right? You go to Ford, how many engine choices do you have?
Well, they used to have like six,
yeah,
and now they have like four. I mean, they kind of pared down a little bit,
right?
But still, I mean, if you're counting the Raptors, that's probably still six engine choices. There's two choices in Ram. You still get the Pentastar.
Right.
You can get a Pentastar, but that's engine's been around.
And you get the straight six Hurricane.
Yeah.
But even Toyota offers, you know, also, right, basically.
Two, because two, hybrid or non-hybrid.
Right, but at least they offer a hybrid version. And Chevy, you know, to their credit,
Four.
Has a diesel.
Yeah.
You know, has a high output and low output V8.
Four cylinders.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And so you kind of, as a consumer, you're kind of like, you know, I have basically two engine choices. And one, as much as I like the Pentastar, is ancient. Look, we can talk about, we've driven the Hurricane. It's fine, right? I mean,
it's very smooth.
It's
a very smooth engine.
Straight sixes are known for being very smooth. But I gotta tell you, I'm not sure a straight six is the perfect engine for a truck. If you were to ask me as a truck buyer, what do you want out of a truck? And you know, the questions were like new technology, more power, better suspension, more towing payload. Like smooth engine would be number 25 on that list.
Yeah,
you know, I would agree. I would put like, you know, better sound ahead of a smooth engine. Fuel economy ahead
in your face styling, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, or something. Bold and brash, yeah. or even like innovative technology ahead of that. And somehow Ram has gotten itself into the position where the thing that sold the truck, let's face it, Andre, the thing that made a Ram was it's a Hemi, right? It's a Hemi.
And that's been like that for 20 years or
yeah,
more.
Yeah, it's got a Hemi, you know, and that's gone. And I think that is going to be a difficult hole to climb out of.
And I agree with you. And also looking towards the future a little bit, they're updating their heavy-duty lineup.
Yeah, right? Let's talk about the new Ram. Yeah, so hopefully they're keeping the Cummins.
Yeah, and I think that's a done deal.
Okay, good.
Because the new CEO of Ram said, you know, the Cummins relationship is still very important to them. So, yes, I think it's a done deal. But are they going to keep the Hemi V8? I mean, the big one.
In
the heavy-duty trucks.
In the Power Wagon specifically.
Exactly. Is the Power Wagon going to be now on 35s at least? You know, how is the Power Wagon going to step up its
game? They put the Cummins in the Power Wagon.
Exactly.
Well, like Ford does.
Exactly. But I think your comment about the chief management of Stellantis, I'm not talking about the people I met, because the people I met during this event, including, you know, Brandt and Nick Kappa, who organized, you know, this wonderful event. I think those are the same people who used to be there, and they really are in the weeds. But I think higher management is misunderstanding
the market.
The market, because it's all about, you know, 1 pound here, 1 pound there. You know, there are billboards that say F-150 tows, you know, 13,500 pounds, and that's because, you know, it's very competitive. And I'm not sure if they're understanding this. So we're hoping the heavy-duty trucks are going to step up in a big way, in a huge way, and
save the day.
Save the day. How about that?
We're being very critical here of Stellantis, but it's not just us, right? It's also the unions. They had a public falling out between the union. It's also the dealers aren't happy right now, and it's like I said, it's a head scratcher because like the company was on a roll, right? It was gaining market share. It was very innovative in what it was coming out with. And now, remember when we went and looked at the EV Ram and how innovative it was?
All the concept.
It blew our mind, right? It had a pass through from the frunk. It had seating for six that you could.
Or actually, like more than six, because they had a third row.
Oh, yeah.
In the back of it.
Yeah. And there were all kinds of innovation, and we were just blown away by it. And then, of course, when the electric version was officially announced, it looks just like that, except it's got an electric.
Yeah.
And I think you can make that work, but it's hard to put that kind of great foot forward and then come back and say, oh, that's just a traditional concept. Yeah. So don't get your hopes up, because now it's just going to be a Ram 1500 that's going to be electrified. And then the other problem is like the Ram Charger, which I think plug-in hybrids are very popular. But if you can actually do a real rev, right, a range extended vehicle, especially in a truck, then that
they promised it.
They promised
it. Should be coming.
And it's nowhere to be seen. And now this week, Scout came out and basically said that they're going to build one in there.
A range extender as well.
Yeah. So you know, there's this limited window for new technology. If you want to be first, it's closing. And these guys were there, but now they're kind of dragging their feet for some reason.
And I think, speaking of Scout, by the way, you're going to do a whole different show about Scout, right?
And so we'll talk about the new truck with Tommy, yeah.
But I just want to throw my two cents into the Scout conversation as we're closing. I love the design. By the way, Chris, the main designer, is from Stellantis.
Yes.
I know Scout didn't exactly say that in the open, but we know Chris. You know, we interviewed him and, you know, we spent time with him. Chris Benjamin, I think his team did a great job, great design. Also, that truck is big; it's almost F-150 sized, right? So, but it's not coming until 2027, Roman. So maybe Ram has a chance. You know, while Scout is ramping up, you know, their factories and they're building out their infrastructures. I think Ram has a chance to step in, and really get after it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, when that we premiered that video, in other words, we premiered the debut, and I was watching the comments as they were popping up, and there's a significant portion of people who are like, "It's electric, it's junk." Basically, there was
a lot of push against it.
There was a sentiment, you know, if it's electric, it's junk. More electric junk. So there's certainly a headwind that's blowing, especially in the truck world. And this is basically the challenge that Ram has to overcome, because they just like Dodge, have the most hardcore V8 fans.
Because that's what they've built over the last 20 years.
That's what they've built their brand on. And yet now we're living in a time where they're trying to transition their customers to a different form of powertrain. And look, I'm agnostic. I don't care what the thing is powered by. I like new technology. As long as it works for the needs that you have for your vehicle, and people will be out there like, well, it doesn't tow, or you know, it doesn't have enough payload, or it doesn't have enough range. But maybe, you know, there are other ways that it does work for people. So, you know, what I hate about those comments is you're giving people less choice, not more choice. And the reason that I hate that is because it's kind of like speaking out of two sides. You know, I don't want the government forcing electric vehicles down my throat, but I don't want to give the people who might want an electric vehicle the ability to buy one, because I hate the fact that they even exist. So pick a lane, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
If either you believe in choice or you don't believe in choice, and you know, pick a lane. And I'm in the belief that the choice is, you know, good. On the other side of the coin, I completely agree. The government shouldn't be forcing people to buy electric vehicles. They should let the market decide. But as far as I know, nobody is taking Hemis out of anybody's hands right now. It's the manufacturers that, you know, are making these choices.
Mm-hmm.
GM, of course, has said that they're going to stay with the traditional 350. Ford, you can still buy the Coyote. So, you know, let's not pretend like, you know, there are no V8s out there. Certainly, diesel trucks in the heavy duty world are going to remain. So I just don't want to be in that same camp. Oh my God. You know, it's only going to be electric trucks. As far as I can tell right now, it's a great time because you can choose. You can choose, you know, your powertrain and whatever works for you.
Yeah.
And it's choice. It's good.
I think next year is going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
Because,
I think so,
you know,
too.
You know, we'll see the new heavy duty trucks from Ram. We will see, you know, maybe in the new V8s from Chevy.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be a really great year.
When are you going to get to go? Is there a program yet for the new Cummins, or is that still too far out?
It's a little bit too far out.
Okay.
I think we will learn. Well, I don't know if I can say.
Oh, better not say.
So.
And I don't want to get in trouble.
It's not going to be like 6 months.
You think first quarter of next year?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. First quarter of next year, we should be seeing a new Ram Cummins, which is exciting.
Exactly, and we'll know a lot of details about it.
Yeah, because it's been kind of quiet.
Promised to at least show it. They teased us with images, right, this year already.
Yeah.
And that's how we know it's coming. But we'll learn everything just in the beginning of next year. How about that?
Yeah, all right, fair enough. And guys, once again, as always, we want to thank our patrons.
Thank you.
Yeah, for supporting us. If you guys want to help support this channel, keep it independent, just head on over to TFL. It's Patreon.
Patreon.com/TFL.
Or click on the link below. You'll get videos ahead of time. You'll also get behind the scenes videos. If you want to kind of get more involved with the team here, that's one way of doing it. And of course, as always, head on over to alltfl.com, where we've got a lot more news, views, and real world reviews that's not truck related. Including Tommy's take on the new Scout truck.
And Scout SUV.
Yeah. And we've been putting up a lot more stuff on Facebook.
Exactly, yeah.
So if you're a Facebook fan, you'll note that
it's there as well.
It's there as well. All right, guys. We shall see you next time.
Appreciate it.
Ciao.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.